Gospel.
Glory to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of the servants, mistreated them, and killed them. King was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned the city. And he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out therefore into the main roads, and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, and added to the light. And the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him in the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth.' Many are invited, but few are chosen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There are consequences to choosing to sit down and eat a meal with somebody. And those consequences extend far beyond our waistlines. When I was in high school, there was a girl I was trying to impress, and I wanted her to go to prom. But her folks would let her go to prom and decided to go for dinner. They decided to go. Well, I was a pretty fussy eater as a kid, and I especially didn't like lettuce or tomatoes. But wouldn't you know, the girl ate the salad, lettuce, and tomatoes. I ate the heck out of that salad. And because I got through it, the next night I was at home. And totally thoughtlessly reached for the salad bowl. And my mother looked at me like I had two heads. She said, "Are you sick?" "No, Mom, why do you think I'm sick?" "Well, what's wrong with you then?" "Nothing. You're eating salad." "Oh yeah, I ate salad now." "Since when?" There are consequences to who we sit down to eat, and of course, what we choose to eat. That still happens today, right? Your boss invites you out for lunch, something's coming. A new project, a promotion, a big pain in the butt. A new friend invites you out to eat, somebody you just recently met. They're trying to build a relationship of some sort. And choosing to say yes, sitting down and eating with someone, that establishes a real bond. That's why sometimes some people ask us how to eat and we say no. We set a boundary. There are no ladies here in the audience that do that, right? So who we choose to eat with matters. It establishes a relationship, and that relationship gets built up, it's founded on, and in large part depends on our ability to continue breaking bread together, whether we do it all the time or not. The king, in today's parable, invites people to eat with him. And it's important that he's a king. He's not just your boss, he's your boss's boss. He's the most important person. And it's important that the meal that he invites you to isn't just Sunday brunch, but is the wedding reception for his son. Because in refusing to attend the wedding feast, the invited guests are saying, not simply, "I don't want to eat with you," but "I'm rejecting you and your offer, and I reject who's the heir, who's the one who stands in the place of the king. I'm rejecting the legitimacy of his authority and of your authority. Which helps explain why the king seems to kind of freak out, right? They choose not to come to his party, and so he burns down the town. But it's because this rejection is not simply, I'm not hungry. This rejection is, I want a part of you. Now, of course, St. Matthew is writing to Jewish converts, to Jews that have come in to the Christian way. And because of that, this parable has special meaning. Those first invited guests represent, at least in part, that portion of the Jewish people that rejected Jesus. But he has a message for the Gentile converts too. That's most of us. And that's this guy that's not wearing the right clothes. It seems really bizarre, doesn't it? The king invites these people to the wedding. They don't come. So then he says, go out and find anybody and everybody. Before, it was a specific invitation. You and you and you. Now, it's a generic invitation. Here comes everybody. And having gone out into the highways and the byways and the brothels and the taverns just to get wedding guests, the king seems really out of character to then spot this guy who's not dressed for the wedding and throw him out. Now, sometimes you'll hear priests, preachers, commentators try and wheel their way out of this one by saying, well, in ancient Israel, there was this custom that everybody had to wear a matching garment for the wedding feast. And even if you didn't have one, the person who was throwing the party was obliged to have extra there for you. Kind of like when you go to a country club and they have a jacket for schlubs like me. The problem is, there's no evidence that ever happened. There's no archaeological evidence, there's no documentary evidence, nobody actually knows of any way, anywhere, where that was a thing. That's just something preachers came up with to bring a lot of a very difficult passage. So here's how the fathers of the church, much more closely related to Jewish practice than we are, saw this passage. The guy without the wedding garment is each of us. When we come to the feast, unprepared, lacking the garments of charity or God's grace, it's the reason the church has this, you know, historic practice of getting us to examine our conscience, look at our head, and look at our heart before we come to Holy Communion. Not because communion is a reward for good behavior. It's not that. But because communion has consequences. And those consequences matter. And sometimes, each of us, and I'm not saying that metaphorically, I mean, each of us, to get ourselves in a position where either our external life or our internal life is so messed up, it's best to step back, to not receive today, and simply reflect on the mystery of what's happening before us. And inasmuch as that motivates us to get our butt back to the confessional and sort out what's gone so wrong in our lives, then it's led to conversion and grace. This is not a homily inviting people to stop coming to communion. It is a homily exhorting you, just short of commanding you, to examine your conscience. Really carefully examine your conscience. That penitential act at the beginning of Mass, and then the invitation of the community, those are two real key moments. Look inside and see what's right and see what's wrong. Not everything we do wrong bars us from the rail. That's not what I'm saying. But everything we do wrong works against the effects of the feast. The grace, the charity, the faith, the hope, the love that is meant to shine out there. How do we know? Well, because the trick of turning this story right is that if the king is God, and the Son is Christ, then each of us is not only random guests at the wedding reception. We're the bride. Now guys, I know this imagery can make you a little bit uncomfortable. I'm not looking at myself. But Jesus used it, so we have to believe. Each of us, individually,
members of the church, and the church as a whole is bride to Christ. We're meant to receive Christ into us and then bear fruit out there, which begins to make sense of why the garment we wear to the wedding matters. Just consider today, if you never have before and if you never do it, consider the effects that the feast is having on you. Consider whether choosing to sit down to dinner with this one is changing your life the way it's meant. And probe your heart, test your conscience, check your mind, just to see if out there people can tell where you go to.